So perhaps from a previous homily just very recently, you know that my mom and my family has been quite uppermost in my mind, and perhaps that is why that my mind went to this experience that I'm going to share with you. It's got to do with my mom. I have a letter from her, and I've preserved it very carefully. It's written about almost 30 years back, August the 8th, 1992. I was 26 years old. I had been in the seminary for 9 years now, and just 2 more years short of being ordained a priest. An experience in the seminary plunged me into a full-blown crisis. So I wrote to my mother in a similar letter like this. Those days, emails were barely starting. I don't think I even had an email address. There were no cell phones to just call. You wrote. Yeah, young people, those who were born after 1992, we used to do this. And this is not primitive. We used to do this. And so I wrote a letter, and I basically made clear to my parents that I was having some difficulty in the seminary. I did not mention the detail, but I do remember contemplating a leave of absence. And I knew at that point that had I taken the leave of absence, I probably would have stayed out and not joined the seminary back, because the crisis was of that magnitude. So after 10 days, I got a letter. And this is what my mother wrote, among other things. She said, "If you cannot continue, I'm telling you, as I have said always, our door is always open. I have no intention to make you a priest." I guess what she meant by that is, the only reason or way I'm going to be happy is not if you become a priest. That's what she meant. "If you find it difficult, get out early. I'm only waiting for your ordination to take a voluntary retirement. Find a good job in Bangalore and settle the matter. Nothing to worry. I am with you." Now, with the assurance that my mother gave me, anybody would have thought that I would quit. She's telling me, if it's difficult, just get out. But my mother's letter actually had the opposite effect. I don't think she was playing reverse psychology. I don't think she was. But I said to myself, if my mother is with me, darn it, I can do it. I can weather any storm. And at 26, I'm not sure I understood it completely, but I did not quit. 2 years later, I was ordained. At my ordination, my mother stood in front of me receiving a blessing. And in this picture, she's actually in tears. "I am with you." 4 words because of which it's almost 30 years now I'm a priest. On the feast of the Ascension of Jesus, the gospel reading ends with Jesus' words, "And behold, I am with you always, until the end of the age." And I think I get it. I understand Jesus's I am with you because of my mother's words, I am with you. So in my 3 points, I would like to reflect on God's enduring presence, Jesus's presence with us. So here are my 3 points for today. Folks, the passage that we have in today's gospel reading is written about 4 decades after the actual event of the ascension of Jesus. So the Gospel of Matthew is written about 70, 75 AD. By this time, the church had gotten used to the physical absence of Jesus. You know what? 35, 40 years is a long time. A generation has passed. And Jesus is not physically with them, but they've gotten used to it. But this is what is baffling, that the church was never more convinced of the real presence of Christ than at this time. And so you have a gospel that's emerging from it, where the words are spoken, I am with you always till the end of the age. 40 years later, the church is more convinced about the presence of Christ than before. And we know this from the faith, the witness, the growth of the early church. A violently persecuted church not only became stronger, but spread like wildfire. Nothing could dent the faith of the early church in Christ and his presence with them. So like the early church today, 2,000 years later, we are invited to know, to believe, and be convinced that Jesus's I am with you is a reality of our faith. That's the invitation we have. If people 40 years after his resurrection and ascension, who had gotten used to the physical absence of Jesus, could be so convinced about the real presence of Christ, then I'm saying that we to have the same invitation. Just as the early Christian church, which was persecuted, folks, life is never easy. Many people think that because Jesus is with us, now it's all good. Now it's a party, right? Life is easy. It never is. You see, the way I explain this to myself, the presence of Christ, is this. My mother's letter to me did not take my problems away. The problems in the seminary persisted. In fact, it persisted even after my ordination. Yet, her assurance, I am with you, gave me a whole new perspective and a whole new approach to life. And that's what I'm trying to say. Jesus' presence does not mean that life becomes any easier, but we are able to deal with the same issues, the same life that we are dealing with, the whole new perspective. I am with you is not a solution to the complexities and difficulties of our life, but it gives us a new way of dealing and approaching with life. With Christ present with us, there's nothing we cannot face. Secondly, I want to talk about this intangible yet real presence. So how do we understand and explain the intangible yet real presence of Christ? For a moment, I want to return to my mother's letter. When she wrote, I am with you, she was not talking about her physical presence. We were about 2,000 miles away from each other. We were not in the same town. In fact, it would not be possible. When she said, I am with you, she was throwing her entire weight behind me. That's what she was doing. I took that assurance that my mother gave me and I personalized it. Even today, Gosh, my mother and I are farther away. We are 9,000 miles away. But I know that my mother is with me. There are days I struggle. These days of this whole family of parishes business, I can't tell you how many days I struggle. But I know Mom is with me. Perhaps I can give you another example. Is there anyone here who has lost a parent, a spouse, or a child? Any one of you have lost? We've all lost somebody, right? How many times have you said to someone that you know that that person who's passed away is with you? They are present in a different way, but that does not mean that their presence is not real. I know somebody who lost a son in a car accident, and she grieves him even now after 9 years of him passing away. And sometimes she'll see a cloud, she'll see one of those birds that her sons liked, or sometimes it's even a squirrel, and she says, Joe sent the sign. The sun is gone, but the presence is real. We know what an intangible yet real presence means. We know that from our own experience. Similarly, the early church was both convinced and alive with the real presence of Christ, even if it was not physical. Today, you and I have to do something. Just like I personalized my mother's presence, even though she was far away, we have to personalize the presence of Christ, who's intangible yet real. Just like I did with my mother's letter, and the way we make our loved ones' presence real for us, we must do that with Christ. This letter is just not a letter for me. In very human terms, this is a sacrament. In other words, this letter communicates to me my mother's presence. This is real. And this is what needs to happen to our faith. Yes, Christ is intangible. But boy, is he real. This is the equivalent of the scriptures, isn't it? So it's up to us. Now finally, what is the implication of personalizing the presence of Christ? Personalizing the presence of Christ is crucial for Christians and for the church and her mission. Before Christ ascended into heaven, he said to his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now following Christ's command and the total assurance of his presence, the early church went about making disciples of all nations. We know from the Acts of the Apostles and from some early Christian writings of the church fathers that the church was a missionary church. It was not a church that was inward-looking and kept pitying for itself because it was persecuted. No. In the midst of persecution, they were an outgoing missionary church. They were alive with the assurance of Christ's presence. They were willing to lay down their lives for faith in Christ. Their community life was also exemplary. They came together for the breaking of the bread, shared what they had with one another, and inspired by their faith in Christ, bore witness to the new way of life they had adopted. They were not always perfect. However, folks, this is very important. People looked at the Christian community, and you know what they said? They said, see how they love one another. Tertullian, a church father, wrote, It is mainly the deeds of a love so noble that lead many to put a brand upon us. In other words, the Christians were branded. And the brand was, see how they love one another. It is mainly the deeds of a love so noble that led many to put a brand upon us. See how they love one another, they say, for they themselves are animated by mutual hatred. How they are ready even to die for one another, they say, for they themselves will sooner be put to death. This is how they spoke about the Christians in those days. In other words, the early church bore witness to the Christ. Hear me out, folks. Please hear me. The early church bore witness to Christ, not by showing his physical presence, because they could not. Christ was not physically present. They bore witness by not showing the physical presence, but by showing how Christ had transformed their lives. See how they love one another. That's how the world knew that Christ was alive, because the disciples were a community about whom it could be said, see how they love one another. The world came to know Christ not by encountering the physical Christ, but by seeing Christ alive in the Christian community. So the practical implication of this point is simply this, that the world does not merely hear our faith, but sees our faith. They must see Christ alive in us. And the most sure sign is, see how they love one another. Actions speak louder than words. In our encounter with the world, if the world doesn't encounter Christ, then Christ's mission is at risk. I pray, may the people look at us and may they say about us, see how they love one another. This is our mountain of the ascension. Christ is here present with us. Today he leaves his presence with us in this Eucharist. But he also gives us a mission. Go, make disciples of all nations. May we both be convinced of Christ's presence and also be a missionary church. People of God said,